Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into your holy presence again here today. We have so much on our minds as individuals and families and as a church. Lots of things are happening in our lives, and we need your grace and your peace. We need the assurance that as we ascend that ladder, Jacob's ladder, the ladder of Jesus Christ, that we will indeed reach heaven, not in our own strength, but in the great power that you give us through your Holy Spirit. As we return one last time to this series in Galatians about freedom in Jesus, we pray that you will stir our imagination anew to the kind of people that you long for us to be in the world. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Since Thursday, first of all, we come one last time to this series, I Will Live Free, reminding ourselves that it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Jesus Christ has set you free. And if Christ has set you free, you are indeed free. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Since Thursday evening, I have been participating in a historic event for our Seventh-day Adventist Church. Bible scholars, lawyers, professionals in politics, as well as psychologists and pastors, have gathered together to discuss a very important topic that stirs our contemporary world and is current discussion in our church today. And that is homosexuality, homosexual practice, the church, the family, the scriptures, society. When you have Seventh-day Adventists on the West Coast with Proposition 9, I think it was, 8, that some were for it and some were against it, and the official church stood on one side and then others stood on the other side, it raised the question that we as Adventist community do not see eye to eye on how to relate to the legal or the political, the ethical, let alone the spiritual dimensions of this particular topic. And so it's just been an awesome week of events and meetings, which have included both Adventist and non-Adventist professionals in each of the disciplines, lawyers, theologians, psychologists, pastors, and all of them relating to this very delicate topic. And in a way that would make you proud, in a way that would stir your heart. Last evening, I was at Pioneer, and the sanctuary was nearly full. And we heard Professor Gagnon from Pittsburgh University. He's a theologian there. He's a Presbyterian by religious heritage. And some of you will know in the news that Presbyterian Church has been actively engaged in the ordaining of homosexual ministers. And of course then he's on the other side. He's cutting across the grain. And he is the foremost knowledgeable scholar across North America and probably in the world today on this subject, both on a biblical perspective as well as the Greco-Roman context of which the Bible was written in. I wish that each of you could have been there. They planned last evening, especially for the student body, and there was a period of questions and answers afterwards. But to hear this doctor, to hear this man begin his discussion with the verse in 2 Corinthians where where it talks about the power of God in earthen vessels. And that we carry about in our body the sufferings of Christ. And that the world, when it sees us, sees people who are hurting and broken, but also sees people who are empowered by Jesus to overcome any area in their life that is not consistent with the kingdom of heaven. Now, he was focusing on just one area, but he started with the reality that sin touches every human being and comes into every one of our lives in different ways. But the power of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus calls us to a whole new experience than what our world does. It was absolutely moving. Every time this man has spoken over the last couple of days, I could feel the Holy Spirit speak because he was bringing the Word of God with simplicity and clarity and compassion as well as passion. And through it all, Jesus was exalted. How was it that Jesus could ratchet up every area of human life, morality, ethics, including sexuality? How was it that he could ratchet it up, never loosen it, never dumb it down, but yet go and spend time personally loving, supporting, encouraging those who were involved in those very things? Because he knew they were lost.
Heavenly
and
Father,
they knew that they needed
Jesus,
a Savior.
We come into
and that
your
he
Holy
was their Savior
again here today.
It is with that
so
kind of picture of discipleship and the radical
and
call for us to die to self, the radical call for us to take up our cross
lives,
and follow Jesus.
Peace.
However he speaks to us in our lives,
that as we ascend that ladder,
that we come to this
Jacob's
final
ladder of Jesus Christ,
study.
And what it
we
means to be free. I
will
heaven,
live free.
Not in our own strength,
Jesus,
but in the great power.
It was for freedom
through your Holy
that
Spirit.
Christ has set us free.
As we
Amen.
One last time.
And we have learned that this freedom is not just freedom from legalism.
We pray that you will.
It's not just freedom from libertarianism, where we just go and do whatever we want.
That you long for us to
it's
in the world for
it's not just freedom from guilt and shame and from sin, but it includes freedom from a host of other things that we've looked at over these last few weeks.
I will live free.
Freedom from intemperance
and freedom
mood altering substances and freedom from sexual addictions and from moral defilements and freedom from debilitating pursuits and the kinds of the things that this world draws us to in the entertainment culture that suck the spiritual life and energy out of our souls.
Historic
last Sabbath we learned that we may not have sexual addictions and we may not have substance abuse addictions and we may not have some of the other addictions
lawyers,
that we've been looking at, hurtful habits as we've called
politics,
them, but nevertheless we could have some dysfunctional
well
interpersonal habits.
Pastors,
we learned about what we say about each other,
together
we learned about anger and strife,
a very important topic,
the kind of interpersonal thing
stirs our contemporary.
These are all things that Jesus
is
would free us from, amen.
In our church today,
and these are all things that Jesus would have us take up our cross and die to ourselves, so that
family,
we can be the men and women in this world whom He's died
society,
for us to be.
When you have Seventh-day Adventists,
and whom He has sent the Holy Spirit to empower us to be,
with Proposition 9, I think
and
it was.
And so we. Include
eight,
on that
the least
some,
but not the last.
Some were for
last,
it,
but not the least.
Some were against it,
and that is
and
the
official church
question
stood
of,
on one side
of
and then
habits of
stood on the
materialism.
Other side.
It raised the
when
question
I was growing up in the
Adventist community,
60s,
eye to eye,
the Beatles were
on
the radio all
the
time,
legal.
and And I listen to the AM station all the time. I listen to it going to sleep at night in the morning. And so I heard a lot of the Beatles when I was a kid. And so I can remember vividly this one that money can't buy you love. Can't buy you love. No. And you know how it goes. This was their third single that hit the top of the chart.
Lawyers,
and by the time they had hit number two, they were raking in so much applause and so much money that in their still in their innocence, Paul McCartney cranked out this one song about the reality of money. And fame and prestige and prominence that they were suddenly experiencing. And they penned this out that money cannot buy us
from
love.
Pittsburgh,
no, 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 no.
He's a theologian there. He's a Presbyterian.
That's a reality.
Money is good for a lot of things.
And some of you will know in
a lot
the
of
news
things
that
money just cannot do.
Presbyterian
now,
Church has
while I was pastoring in the Metro D.C. area, I was driving along and I heard an
ordaining of homosexual
minister
ditty on the radio.
And of course, then
one
he's
day,
on the other side.
A
he's
bank was adding
across the grain,
singing the song,
and
"Can't Buy Me Love." You know, just going down, no.
Scholar,
but then it ended.
North
but what
America,
it does, I want.
Today.
And so subject, please come down and take out your loan and
as well as
whatever it was that the bank was
Roman
advertising that
context
day.
Of which the Bible was written.
And so in our minds,
I wish that each of you could
we
have been
know
there.
They
planned last
can't
evening,
do certain
especially
things.
For the student body.
But boy,
and
when
was
it
a
does.
Period of question and answers afterwards.
Let's have it.
But to hear
right?
this doctor,
that is our human
to hear
nature.
This man.
And so
begin
I bring you to
his
a sister passage
with
to this one
in
Galatians
in
that we've been looking
Corinthians
at for the last few weeks,
where it talks about
we're
going to
step out of Galatians chapter 5
vessels.
In order to get a
and
broader picture
we,
of what Galatians
carry
chapter 5
about
is referring to when it talks about a few things. Here in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10,
and that the world,
says the love of money
us,
is a root of all sorts of evil, and some,
hurting,
by
broken,
longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs.
By Jesus
so I want to focus on this idea of love. This has to do then with what is in my heart, not what is
life.
In my pocket
that is not consistent.
Not in my bank
kingdom
account.
Of
not what is in my home.
Now,
this has to do with what is
on
in my
just
heart.
One area.
This has to do with my affection.
But he started with
this
the
has
reality.
This has to do with my priority.
That sin.
This has to do
every
with what I consider to be
and comes into
the overweening
every one of our
values
lives in different ways.
Value system in my
but the
in my
power
life,
of
right?
Jesus.
And
the
so Paul raises the idea that there
the,
can
the
be
Spirit
a love for money. Now, owning money is legitimate.
Calls
having money is legitimate. Having possessions is legitimate. But having that money and having those possessions rule and control your life is another thing.
I could feel.
And that's what
Holy
we want to
Spirit
talk about
speak.
For a few moments
because
here
he
this morning. We want to
the
talk about ourselves in relationship to objects. Ourselves in relationship to stuff,
as well
as Pastor Caesar brought out in the children's story here. Ourselves in relationship to stuff.
Was exalted.
So in doing so, we're going to see
that
money connects with four broad areas of our human existence.
Life.
Number one, it connects with ourselves. Myself.
Ethics,
who I am deep down inside. My values.
How is it that he
my priorities. Never
the affections
of my heart.
Never dumb it down.
What do I love?
Go
what do I prioritize? How do I put things together? What do I
loving,
see in my inner private world? So money relates on that level of myself. But money also relates to others.
Because he knew they were lost.
All right? There's an incredible interpersonal dimension about money.
It is
when it comes down
kind
to who has it,
of
who controls it,
and the radical call.
For us to
money
die to
self,
is at
the
root
the radical
of
call
many
for us to
divorces
take up our cross
in the United States.
Follow
in
Jesus.
Fact, when you see the scale
however
of things
he speaks
with,
to us
that have to
lives,
do with the breakdown of a marriage, it revolves around discussion and conflict dealing with
free.
Issues of
I
money.
Will live
and we could easily raise
it was for freedom
in the history of our village church.
Christ
some points of conflict
amen.
Also within our body that
and
revolve
we have learned
around
that this freedom.
Money
and
is
how
not
we
just
see that money,
freedom from,
how we
from
spend
legalism,
that money, how we would control
it's
that
not just
money and
freedom
so forth.
From libertarianism,
and money also
where
we
have to
go
do
and
do whatever we
want with God.
It's
and who he is.
It's not just freedom from guilt and shame and from
sin. And then, of
sin,
course,
it,
money
it includes
and material possessions,
freedom,
or materialism
from a host of other things
with
that
a worldview
we've looked at
in terms
over these
of eternity,
last few weeks.
Or you know,
freedom
do we just
from
live
intemperance.
In this world is this world all I have?
Mood altering substances.
Eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow
freedom
you die.
From sexual addictions.
And then that's it. And
or
and
is there
from
something
beyond?
Defilement
and if there's something and, beyond,
and freedom
in the way in
from
which we relate to objects,
from
stuff, and money, ultimately
debilitating
to that
pursuits.
There.
And
now
and
let's
and
come
the,
back
the
to
kinds
the
of things that this world draws us to in the entertainment culture.
We've looked
that
at these words
the
over and over from
and
different
energy out of our soul,
focusing on different words through the weeks.
That we may not
now
have
the deeds of the flesh
we
are
may not
evident,
have
which are
abuse addiction.
Now I've singled
and,
out idolatry,
we may not have some of the other addictions that we've been looking at, hurtful
envy.
Habits as we've called them, but
and
nevertheless we could have some dysfunctional
the issue of
interpersonal habits
and the issue of money is packed
you learned
into
about what we say
these
about each other.
Words. You'll
you learned
remember
about anger
a few
and
weeks ago I had this
kind
verse
of
on the screen
things.
But I had
these
a different topic up there
Jesus
rather than idolatry and
would
materialism.
From, amen.
I had idolatry
and these are all things that Jesus would have us right? Take up our cross
so,
and
here,
die to ourselves
I want us to
so that we can
that
be the men and women
is,
in this world whom he died for us to be.
In this verse.
And whom
and
he
I want
sent
to
the
see
Holy
that right
Spirit
after the
to
word
empower
greed,
us to
it
be.
It says, which amounts to
and
what?
So we
idolatry.
Conclude on
now, idolatry
the least
is whenever we put something
last,
before God.
And that is
we
the
put,
question
an
of,
object before God. We
of,
put a person before God.
Of materialism.
We put an experience before God.
When I was growing up, in
that's
the
what
60s,
idolatry basically
the Beatles
is.
Were on
it's something
the radio
that we put our confidence
time,
in.
And,
we put our
and
trust
I listen
in.
To the AM
we pack our worldview around it.
To it.
We say to ourselves
to
that that's where meaning and purpose
so I heard
and
a
security
lot of the Beatles when I was a kid.
And pleasure and joy is
and,
found
I can
that
remember
setting,
vividly this
right?
One that money can't
and
buy you
Paul
love.
Is telling us
can't
and
buy you love.
A number of things.
No, no, no. You know how it goes.
Could be called idolatry.
This was their third single. That hit the top
now,
of the chart.
Greed,
and by time
would go
they
back
had hit
and be
number
related
two,
to the issue
they were
of
raking
jealousy
in so much applause
and
so
envy.
Much money that in their
because
still
greed
in their innocence, Paul McCartney cranked out this one song.
Have,
all right,
that maybe
about the
else
reality
has.
Of
and
money
you were not only
envious and
of
fame
it,
and prestige
jealous.
And prominence that they were suddenly
somebody
experiencing,
has something that you don't
and
have.
And they penned this out.
And that's why
that money
within the setting
cannot
of the family,
buy us
that's
love.
Why in the setting of the church.
No, 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 no.
That's why in the setting of corporate
reality.
America, right?
Money is good.
How
for a lot
money
of things.
Is gained and
there
used
a lot of
and dispersed
that money just cannot do.
Now creates incredible. Incredible.
While I was pastoring in the Metro D.C. area, I was driving along and I heard a
for interpersonal conflict and dysfunction.
Diddy on the radio.
Now, greed.
One day, a bank
in the,
was advertising
in the Bible.
Singing
the
song, "Can't Buy Me Love,"
is a strong
you know,
desire
going
to acquire
down, no, no,
more
no, no, no.
And more material
ended,
possessions.
But what it does, I want
to possess
want,
more things
want.
Than other people have.
And so please come down and take out your loan.
So here you have
whatever
here
you
was
are
at
as
the
a
bank
person.
Was advertising.
You
that
want
day.
More and more,
and
so in our
you
minds,
want more and more than others, or even what others have.
Can't irrespective
do
of the actual
boy, what
need
it does
that you have,
let's have it.
Now right? That's what greed is all about.
That is our human nature.
Some time ago, I was
and so
watching
I bring
CNN
you to
on one of my trips
a sister passage
and,
to this one in Galatians.
There
that
was
we've been
a commercial
for the last
break,
few weeks,
and
I
was step out of Galatians chapter 5. Because
in order
the commercial
to get a
started
broader
with
picture
nice
of what Galatians
dressed,
chapter 5
innocent,
is referring to when it talks
young
about
lady,
things.
Beautiful lady,
in,
and she was walking
Timothy
down
6,
the street,
10,
and she stops
the love
in front
of money,
of the glass
the root
window
of
a department
of
store,
evil,
and
she
some
peers
by
into that,
longing for
that,
it
that
window,
away
and she
from the
sees
and
this perfume called
griefs.
Covet. In
so
the
I want
green,
to focus on this idea of love.
This has
bottle.
To do then
and she
with
sees
what is in my heart.
And then she
not
pulls her,
her
skirt up to her
not
knees.
Not in my bank account.
And she, you can
not
see
what
that
is
she
in
has
my
these
lace boots
on.
And she begins
heart.
Kicking
with my
the glass.
This has to do with my priorities.
And she kicks the glass until it shatters. And then she reaches in and grabs the perfume. And just that quick, you see the flashing of the lights and the police show up.
And
the final scene
for money
is of her
owning money,
standing
is legitimate. Having money is legitimate. Having possessions is legitimate.
And
but having that money
there,
and having those
and
possessions,
she takes a hold
and control,
and she presses her face through the bars,
thing.
And she says,
and that's what we want to talk about for a few moments here this morning. We want
to
talk about ourselves in relationship to objects, ourselves in relationship to stuff, as Pastor Caesar brought out in the children's story here. Ourselves in relationship
is human
stuff.
Greed today.
So in doing so, we're going to see that money
impulsive,
connects
indulgent,
with four
and
broad areas
do what you want.
Of our human existence.
Number
one, it connects with ourselves,
on the
myself,
spur of the moment,
who I am deep down
do
inside,
not
my values,
any of your
my priorities,
satisfy,
the affections of my heart.
If you see it,
what do I
and
love,
you like it,
what do I prioritize, how do I put things together, what do I see in my inner private world? So money relates on that level of myself.
But
money also relates
to
others.
Of the human
heart. There's an incredible interpersonal dimension about money.
Connecting to a world outside.
When it comes down to who has it,
meaning and
who controls it.
In life, by the acquisition of things.
Money is at the root of many divorces in the United States. In fact, when you see the scale of things that have to do with the breakdown of a marriage, it revolves around discussion and conflict dealing with issues of money.
And so, Paul would say,
we could easily raise in the history of our village church some points of conflict also within our body that revolve around money and how we see that money, how we spend that money, how we would control that money and so forth. And money also has to do with our relationship with God.
That word content.
And who he is, who we are in relationship to him.
Greed,
and then, of course, money and material possessions
and
or materialism ultimately has to do with a worldview in terms of eternity.
That
or
content,
you know, do we just live in this world? Is this world all I have?
The ethics,
eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and then that's it?
Today.
Or is there something beyond?
World,
and if there's something beyond, then the way in which we relate
world,
to objects, stuff, and money
world that
is ultimately related to that
need,
picture there.
Now,
let's come back to Galatians chapter 5.
Saying you need
in Galatians chapter 5,
bigger, better,
we've looked
faster,
at these words over and over from
sharper,
different perspectives. Focusing
smaller,
on different words through the weeks. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which
word.
Are, now I've singled out idolatry and jealousy and envy. And I suggest to you that the issue of materialism and the issue of money is packed into these words.
However,
you'll remember
we'll
a few weeks ago, I had this verse on the screen. But I had a different topic up there. Rather than idolatry and materialism, I had idolatry and entertainment.
But contentment means that there is a bench.
So here, I want us to see that the word greed
itself
is mentioned.
And
in this
verse. John
and
Wesley,
I want us to see that right after the word greed, it says
level.
Which amounts to
and whenever
what?
He got raises above that,
idolatry.
Rather than
no,
jacking up his lifestyle
whenever
with those raises,
we put something
he learned
before
to live at that
God.
Level, and whatever
we
he
put,
got above that.
An object before God, we put a person before God,
it's for service.
We put an experience before God, that's what idolatry basically is.
So in his mind, his own
it's
experience
something that we
the
put
benchmark
our confidence
of
in,
contentment
we put our
reached.
Trust in. We pack our worldview around
is
it.
Every one of
we
us
say to ourselves
that
that's where meaning and
of
purpose
we are
and security
with
and
what
pleasure
God has
and
given,
joy is found
who we are,
within that setting.
What we have.
Right? And the Apostle Paul is telling us that among
well
a number of things
in relationship
that could be called idolatry, greed.
As Paul will go on to say, those who want to get rich
now,
fall into temptation and a snare, and
would go
many
back
foolish
and, be
and harmless
to
desires
the issue of jealousy
are harmful desires.
And
that's the reality of our contemporary world. Foolish
greed
desires and harmful desires. And foolish desires ultimately are harmful because when we fulfill
has,
those desires,
and that you
are we
not only
are
envious
coming
of it,
away empty.
But you are jealous
of it.
And
because somebody has something that you don't have.
Plunges men into ruin.
And that's why, within the setting of the family.
And how many?
That's why in the setting of the church.
Their soul through the years.
That's why in the setting of corporate America. Right.
On Sabbath,
how money is gained
taking on
and used and dispersed.
Businesses or work
and
knowing that in order to have a certain job, it meant compromising here or compromising there.
Interpersonal
so they chose the compromises in order to have the job.
Now,
then,
greed,
then in the course of time,
in the Bible,
faith,
the Greek word translated greed is a strong desire to acquire more and more material possessions or to possess more things than other people have, all respective
of
need.
Addiction.
So here you have, here you are as a person.
The love of money is the root
of all
sorts
of evil.
You
want
more and more. By,
and you want
it, have
more and more than
the faith,
others, or even what others have,
with many,
irrespective
many
of the actual
griefs.
Need that you have.
It's a reality. I've been a pastor long enough to know that the Adventist Church.
Some time ago, I was watching CNN on one of my trips, and there was a commercial break, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. Because the commercial started with this nice,
money ultimately
dressed,
revolves,
innocent looking
beyond
young
oneself,
lady, beautiful lady,
impact
and she was walking down the street,
moral self,
and she stops in front of the glass window
world.
Of a department
money
store,
moves beyond
and she peers into that through that window, and she sees this perfume called Covet. In the green,
because when it comes to the reality of money and material
bottle.
Things, there is
and
the comparing
it.
To.
And then she
and
pulls
then there is
her,
the competing
her skirt up
and
to
then
her
there is
knees,
the climbing above.
And she, you can
and
see
what
that she
one
has
of us at some point
on,
in our life,
and she begins
be honest,
kicking the glass.
What one of us
and
at
she
some point in our life
glass,
has not
and she kicks
seen
the glass
someone
until
else
it shatters,
car
and then she reaches in and grabs the perfume, and just that quick, you see the flashing of the lights. And the police show up, and
the
final scene
at the grocery store
is of her
or gotten that new
standing
shirt
behind
or whatever it is,
and
you've
prison,
you've seen the joy
jail.
On their face, and they're telling you
and
about
she's
it,
standing
and you know
there,
that you don't have the money
and
to
she
do
takes
it,
a hold of the bars,
and
she
crushes
her face
and away and
through the bars, and she says,
"Am I the only one that's ever experienced
it? I had to have it.
It's a human reality."
And I
said that ultimately
myself,
possessions are seen in relationship
whoa.
To others.
How
to the place
in your
where
face
the human nature part of
us
drives
face.
Us to compete with others, to stay up with them
impulsive,
and ultimately bypass them because there's something to be said about ourselves. If we can get beyond the
fill
other
what
person,
you want,
if we have
on the
a
spur
few
of the
more
moment,
toys in our
do
in our
not
toy
resist
box.
Any of your impulses to satisfy
am I right?
If you see it. And you like
and this
it,
is what our
go
for our
it.
Contemporary world pushes.
Can you
this
imagine?
This is the ethic of the consumer-oriented, materialistic
cut.
World in which we live. And we'll be even more so as we reach the end, that Babylon, the Revelation 18, that has the furniture store,
the human
the jewelry
heart
store, the clothing store,
itself,
the food store, the equivalent of the auto shop where you go and buy your car, the auto dealer, the entertainment industry. It's all there in Revelation 18. Buying and selling. Materialism.
According to meet, in order
the
to
ultimate
meet,
reality.
One's sense of
and then,
purpose,
of course, there is the
life,
buying over and the
and
arguing
fulfill,
over and the controlling.
Satisfy one's
I'll
own
I still will remember when my
so
father came home
Paul
with
a $40,000 check.
We have brought nothing into the world,
finder's fee.
So we cannot take anything
imagine?
Out of it either.
Getting a $40,000
covering
because
with
you
these,
happen
we
to find
a
buyer for a business.
Be content. So he gets $40,000 simply because he put two people together. Actually, three
that
people
word
together,
content,
buyers and two brothers
is in contrast.
And those brothers
to
owned the business
greed,
that my dad was running.
Jealousy.
And these brothers were costing
envy.
The business money. My dad was had they were running they were doing so many million dollar a year business that the brothers couldn't comprehend what was going on, and they were
the
actually
ethics,
costing the business money.
The world
so
view,
he found a buyer for the business
today,
that could handle the level of production and disbursements and so forth that
pseudo
that this business was doing.
Virtual need.
And so the brothers
that
suddenly
constantly saying you need
rich.
Something bigger, better,
they
faster.
Had, nearly $1 million each.
Smaller. And I'll never forget how my dad said that
is our
now
room.
You have two brothers. But somehow the reality of contentment, and the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content with a lot.
The other brother $1,000 from years ago.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And the one millionaire brother
I've learned
came
to
the other millionaire brother and said,
we'll see in a few minutes,
you owe me
it's hard to be content with a lot, even. Because a lot
the conflict that
that
immediately brought.
And then, not only that, but one of the brothers put all
but
of his money, steal all his money away, refuse to give any of it to
his family.
That is reached within the self.
So here he has all this money.
As John Wesley.
And he's forcing everybody around
to live
him.
At a certain level.
His wife.
And whenever he got raises above
his
that,
children,
rather than jacking up his lifestyle to go with those raises,
no
he learned
blessing.
To live at that level, and whatever
what
he got above that.
What an incredible dysfunction that created.
In those
which
two
servants'
lives, and helping the lost
go on
around him, how we fight about
so
money.
So, in his mind,
in
his own experience, there was a benchmark of
homes,
contentment that he reached
in our church.
The reality is every one of us must find that
be
benchmark of which we are content.
Who's going to have control
with
over
what God has given, who we are,
what has been
what
done,
we have,
and it creates
and his promises as well as his calling
hurt.
In relationship
it creates
to. The others
feelings.
In our world.
It
as
can bring a
Paul will go
down,
on to say, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare,
down.
And many foolish and harmless desires are harmful
that's
desires.
Why,
and that's the,
money
the reality of our contemporary
of
world.
Fruits of the
foolish
spirit.
Desires
you can see this
and
listing
harmful
of things
desires.
That we looked at over the last
and
couple weeks.
Foolish desires ultimately
enmity,
are harmful
jealousy,
because when
anger,
we fulfill those desires, we are coming away empty.
Can you
and
label in relationships
then the Apostle Paul
that you have
says
been a part
plunges
of
men into ruin
as a,
and destruction
as a son or a daughter?
And how many?
As an heir or someone who has not been part
the
of
years.
The who's been our cut out
people,
of the will?
Adults working on Sabbath.
How much has money
taking on
been involved
businesses
in
or
jealousy
or
and
work
strife
within a
and
family,
knowing
and
that in order to have a certain job,
faction
meant
within
compromising
a church
here or compromising
or
there,
in relationships.
So they chose the compromises
the flip
in order
side
to have
of that
the job,
is
where the Holy Spirit would lead
then,
us
then
to be patient
time,
with each other and to be
faith,
gentle with each other
and
to do the right thing, to be good to each other in terms of these things. We
this
can't overlook
what the Apostle Paul is saying.
And this is
and that's
what,
why the Apostle Paul will go on
to free us.
He'll say, instruct those who are rich in the present world not to be conceited. Don't stick your head
the
up and say, I've arrived,
of all
and others
of evil
may have not.
By
but rather
longing
them
for
to
it,
do
have
good,
wandered
to
away
be rich
from
the faith
works,
and
to be generous
and
many,
ready to share.
Many
now, this is a different way of relating to money. This is a different way of relating to the resources that
I've been
God
a pastor
provides in terms of relationships.
The Adventist Church,
right? Rather than hoarding, rather than struggling, rather than vying, there needs to be a different ethic of cooperation and unity and doing good and being
and
rich in good works
in
and being generous and
but
ready
money
to share
revolves,
on a personal level
comes beyond oneself,
family level,
the impact on oneself. One's moral self, one's spiritual self, one's inner private world.
And that moves me to
money
the next
moves
one,
beyond
and that has to do
with
the
money
level of relationship.
And our relationship.
As I've already
struck those who are rich
to a couple
in
times
this present
here
world,
this
not to be conceited
because
or to fix
when it
their
comes
hope
to
on
the reality
riches,
of money and material
but rather
things,
to fix
there is
their
the
hope
comparing
on God.
To.
And then
and
there
I
is the
see
competing
what it says about God.
And then there is the climbing above.
It says here that it is
and what one of us at some point
supplies
us
with
all the things.
What one of us
what?
At some point in our life
enjoy.
Has not.
Is there anything
seen
wrong with someone else? Drive a new
the
car
that God gives
or be able to
wrong?
All right.
Have
I'm
an extra
home,
big
and I'm
grocery
going to enjoy
a thankful
meal
of
with my son
cart
headed
full
for
of
Korea
food
on Monday
at the
and
mall
I'm not see him
at,
June,
at the grocery store
till the
or
wedding.
Gotten that new shirt
so we're having
and,
Thanksgiving
or whatever it is
this afternoon
with his family.
Seen the joy on
I'm
their
go
face
home,
and they're telling
and
you
I'm
about
enjoy
it
some food.
And you know that you don't have the money
right?
to do it and you can't do it
and
you go away
a little bit of
pumpkin pie too. All right?
Now am I the only one that's ever experienced that
with the enjoying?
And the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that God gives us
that
things
ultimately
so that
possessions
we can enjoy
are seen
it.
In
but
relationship
to,
see
others. That ultimately all the things that we have in life that are considered good are ultimately
the
related
part
to God.
Of it drives
that God
us
is the one
to,
who supplies
to compete
them
with others,
to
stay up with them, and ultimately bypass
the
them because
things,
there's something to be said about ourselves if we can get beyond
things,
the other person.
Right?
If
and
we have a few more
in
toys
a meager
in,
way?
In our toy box.
No, he does it richly.
Am I right?
Well, some of us may not be feeling that.
And this
way
is
right
what
now,
our contemporary world pushes.
Some of us.
This is the ethic of the consumer-oriented, materialistic
sure
world in which we live. And we'll be even more so as we reach the end,
so
that Babylon,
the
Revelation 18, that has the furniture store, the jewelry store, the clothing store, the food store, the equivalent of the
maybe
auto
the
shop where you go and buy your car, the auto dealer, the entertainment industry.
The
it's all there in Revelation 18. Buying and selling.
Be with me. Now
materialism.
That's what Pastor Perozzo's
The Ultimate
Reality
was about.
In case
and then, of course,
it.
There is the vying over and the arguing over and the controlling.
But the bottom line is when it comes to money and God,
it
my
ain't
father
mine.
Came home with a $40,000
and so it comes down
check.
To ownership.
It was a
money and
fee.
Material things comes down
can
to
you
the
imagine?
Question of ownership.
God
getting $40,000 because you happen to
cattle
find
on a thousand
a,
hills
a
are
buyer for a business.
God's, okay?
All so he gets
$40,000
simply because he took people,
God's,
two
right?
people together.
The world
actually,
belongs
three
to
people together, buyers and two
all
brothers.
All the things in the world belong
those
to
those brothers own the business.
All right.
My dad
so
was
God
running.
Is the owner
and
of
these
everything.
Brothers were costing
how much do you own?
The business money. My
nothing.
Dad was had,
I do
they
not
were running
own
they
anything.
Were doing so many million
everything
dollar
that I
year
have
business
belongs
the brothers
to God.
Comprehend what
now,
was going on
ago,
and they were actually costing
I used to
the
tell
business
money.
The
so
tithe
he
belongs
the buyer
to God,
for the
business
and the 90% is yours.
That could handle the level of production
it's
and
the
disbursements
the 10% belongs
and
to
so
God,
forth and the 90%
business
was
to
doing.
God.
And so the brothers happened
to be given the freedom to handle the 90%.
They had that is not the tithe.
Nearly $1 million each.
All right? So everything that
remember,
I have belongs to God.
My dad said that.
And I am always and only a steward in life.
Millionaires,
I'm a created being.
Nearly.
And God has
the
supplied me with what I have.
The other
he has given me the power to get well.
Years ago.
All right? So who I am, what I have, all belongs to God. I owe it to God. And as a steward, I constantly must be in a frame of reference. All right, Lord, this is what you've given me.
The conflict
what do you want me to do with your belongings?
But
one of the brothers
put
all of his money, steal all that money away,
refused
to give any of it
to God.
Do you remember seeing that? That and
so here he has all this
occasion calls. Back
and he's forcing everybody around
what he
him.
Has loaned us.
It's incredible
imagery.
Most of us don't know this.
Children.
Most of us don't believe this.
There was no
most of us
blessing.
Don't want to hear this.
What
but I can tell you,
incredible
if all of us implemented these principles alone in our lives, it would bring a radical change in our lives in terms
how
of how
we
relate
money,
to money
our marriages,
and our contemporary
in our homes,
world.
In our church.
That's
we vie over how it's going to be allocated.
We argue
so now
over
we move
who's
to the last
have control
one.
Over it.
Where
we
the
disagree
Apostle Paul
on
says,
what
storing
has been
up
done,
to themselves the treasure
and
of
it
a good foundation for the future, so that
hurts.
They may take hold of
it
what
creates
of that
bad
which
feelings.
Is life indeed. So
it can bring
a
marriage
up.
Down.
All
it can
of us
bring
like
a,
to have that little nest egg.
A
I mean,
partnership
it,
down.
It's nice that when the car dies, to have
down.
Money in the bank to buy
that's
a new
why,
car. Isn't that nice?
Money in relationships,
deeds of the flesh, and fruits of the
right?
Spirit. You can see this
so
listing of things that we looked at over the last couple of weeks. Idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions,
not just for here, but
how much
beyond
of this.
Storing for the future.
Can you label in relationships that you have been a part of?
Really, what life
as a,
is all
as a
about.
Son
now,
or a daughter,
seminary,
as an heir, or someone who has not been part of
we would
the,
gather in
who,
my,
who's been cut out of the will,
in my apartment or somebody else's apartment, and we would order some pizza. And
how
we'd
much
get the Monopoly
has
game
money
out, and we would play
been involved
Monopoly.
In jealousy and strife
and,
within
we had
a family
some pretty intense
and
games. I mean, it's exciting to play Monopoly because you're rich
a church
to start with,
or in relationships.
And if you play
and
your cards
the flip
right,
side
and roll
of that
the
is
dice right,
where the Holy Spirit
richer and richer and
would
soon,
lead us.
You're in control
to be patient
of the board,
with each other,
and that's
and
a lot of power,
to be gentle with each other,
and a lot of prestige,
to do the right thing,
and
to
a lot
be
of
good to each
a lot
other
of
in terms of
good energy.
We can't overlook
and also the making for a few fights,
and that's why the Apostle Paul would go on.
We
say instruct those who are rich in the present world not to be conceited. Don't stick your head up and say, I've arrived and others around me have not. But rather instruct them to do good and to be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share.
Every time we put money in the bank, we take money out.
This is a different way of relating to money.
And,
this is a different way of relating to the resources that God provides in terms of relationship.
To the place that they couldn't, right? They couldn't keep up.
Rather than hoarding, rather than struggling, rather than vying, there needs to be a different ethic of cooperation and unity and doing good and being rich in good works and being generous and ready to share on a personal level.
All of us are
family
playing a game of Monopoly, so to speak.
And getting
church,
ahead,
too.
And hoping that we don't go to jail and we get.
And that moves me to the next
one,
and that has to do with money
and
our relationship with God. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on uncertain riches, but rather to fix their hope on God.
We're done with
that. And I want us to see what it says about God in this verse.
We drank our soda.
It says here that it is that God richly supplies us with all the things to what?
When the game
enjoy. Is there anything wrong with enjoying the things that God gives us? Is there anything wrong? All right. I'm going to go home and I'm going to enjoy Thanksgiving meal with my son who's headed for Korea on Monday, and I'm not going to see him until June. Till the wedding.
All the energy.
So we're having Thanksgiving dinner
passion,
this afternoon with his family.
All the ethics.
I'm
going to
go home and I'm going to enjoy some food
when it is all
is
over.
Is that all right?
Ultimately, everything goes
that's fine.
Into the box.
And I hope to get a little bit
of
pumpkin pie too.
Ruler,
all right?
Rich man.
So there's nothing wrong with the enjoying.
The
book of Ecclesiastes tells
harvest,
us that
so
God gives
barns,
us things so that
then,
we can enjoy. But what I want us to see,
you know,
that ultimately
that
all the things that we have in life that are considered good are ultimately related to
sure
God.
Crop,
that God is the one who supplies
sure
them to
barns,
us. And he supplies,
sure financial security,
according to the text,
you eat,
a few things.
And you drink and you be merry.
All things.
Remember,
all right? And does he do it in a meager way?
That is what our world.
No, he does it
today.
Richly.
But God,
now, some of
would
us
have
may not
be feeling that way right now because
the last
the
one is inevitable.
Some of us will go home today and
it will
say,
happen.
Lord, I'm not sure about
and
this.
And if it does not
me,
happen in your lifetime, that means that Jesus is coming in your lifetime.
So there is
what
the practical
life is about
dimension of this
will be
and how it relates
there
to us on
for
the level
you
to deal with in terms of your ultimate and application priorities. And maybe.
And so what is it that really
maybe
matters?
The Lord
what
is calling forever
us to be the one who
well,
supplies the needs
of
somebody
our relationship
else
with God. Are you with
our
me?
Relationship with
now
others.
That's what Pastor Perosa's
my character, my soul, who
about,
I am.
In case you didn't
and
get
deeds
it
of mercy and generosity
right
and
love.
But the bottom
that I
line
might
is when
I'm
it
here
comes to money
these
and God,
are the things
it ain't
that last
mine
forever.
These
and
are
so
the things
it comes down
which
to
the
ownership.
When it's talking
money
to
and
us
material
things,
the power
comes
the
down
Holy
to the question
and
of
ownership.
Freedom of
God
which
owns
Jesus brings
how much
us. These are the things towards
cattle
which
on
Jesus
a thousand hills
is leading us. The things that go God's, back in the
okay
box are our
all
possessions,
the silver
and
our money,
and gold
are
and our pleasure and our power
God's,
and,
right?
our, and our physical attractiveness.
The world belongs
and our youth,
to
and
all the
our,
things
our,
in the world
our
belong to.
And,
all right.
Our,
so
our titles
God
and our
is the owner
of
everything.
Security. It all
how
goes
do you
into the
own
box.
Nothing.
And when they
I
buried
do not
J.D. Rockefeller, who was
everything that I have belongs to
his,
God.
Now, years ago, early in ministry, I used to tell people
somebody asked
the tithe belongs to God,
well, how much
and the 90% is yours.
And the accountant
I have
said,
changed
well,
my
I
tune.
He left everything.
It's no the tithe, the 10% belongs to God, and the
but
90%
the reality
is that
to God.
Jesus says that
we
do not
happen
need to,
leave
to be given
everything
the freedom.
We do not
to handle
anything.
The
90%.
Ellen White talks
that is not
about
the
how
tithe
the Holy Spirit.
Are you with
speaking
me
to God's people
right
as we near the end?
So everything
and
that I have belongs to God.
So that we do not
and
have
I am
anything
always and only
to leave
a steward
here
in life.
But rather
I'm
we are sending
being
it on ahead.
And
right? God has supplied me
and
with what I have.
Paul will
he
say
has given me the power to get well. Timothy 6:18-19.
So who I have and what I have all belongs to God. I owe it to God. And as a steward, I constantly must be in a frame of reference.
All right, Lord,
this is what you've given me. What do you want me to do with your belongings?
Which is life.
You saw a quote in the bulletin a few
weeks ago. The world will tell you that this stuff is what life is about. But Jesus will tell you that freedom from this stuff is what life is all about.
And not riches of the world is what life is about.
But richness in God is what life is about.
And that's
incredible
why
imagery.
This passage in
most of
in
us
Matthew
don't know
6,
this.
19 to 20,
most of us
coming back to this,
do not
don't
believe this.
Yourselves treasure
most of
on
us
earth
don't
want to
hear this.
Rust, destroy,
but I can tell you,
thieves break
if
in
all
and
of this
but store for yourselves treasures in heaven,
principles alone in our lives,
it would
you
bring a
that
radical change in our lives. In terms
do you
of how
believe that
we
there's
relate
a treasure box
to money in heaven
and our contemporary
do you believe that you
world.
Can store treasure in heaven?
That's
well, you do that. There's nothing that can corrupt that. And where your treasure
so
is, that's where your heart is.
The last
and
one.
Jesus says, "Say, look past this world.
The Apostle Paul says,
look past
up for
the stuff of this world. Look to eternity.
Future,
look to me.
So that they
look to
may
what
take
the people around you need, and allow me to lift them
indeed.
Through you.
So
look to eternity and build that
all of us
treasure
like to
there
have that nest
for
egg.
Eternity.
I mean,
in a nutshell,
it's nice
money
that
cannot
when your car dies to have
provide our
money in the bank.
Money can be used to provide our needs, and it can be used
to
honor God, and it can be used to serve others.
So there,
but it cannot make
it
happy.
Storing up is a biblical principle.
Our soul.
But here we're talking about storing up
a lot of pain,
not just for here,
and
but
suffering,
for beyond,
and worry,
storing for the future,
and
storing
guilt,
for that
which
ultimately
can't
is
buy us love,
really
can't buy us respect, peace, forgiveness, talents,
now,
happiness.
When I was in seminary,
you name
Saturday
it.
Night,
the things that money cannot
we would
buy.
Gather in my Kathy in my apartment
but
or somebody else's apartment, and we would order some pizza and we'd get the Monopoly game out. And we would play Monopoly.
We can love God more, deeply.
And we had some pretty intense games. I mean, it's exciting to play Monopoly because you're rich to start with.
We can improve
and if you play
us.
Your cards right and roll the dice right, you can get richer and richer.
People.
And soon you're in control of the board. And that's a lot of power and a lot of prestige and a lot of good energy.
The freedom that Christ
and also
free,
the making for a few fights.
Firm and do not be subject again.
We learned that seminary students
not be subject to the
yoke,
are
human also,
the bondage of materialism, the bondage
the
of
night.
Money.
Let Jesus
and,
set
a
you
friend
free.
Of mine, we decided we'd
let
on
Jesus
our lives,
empower you
in the game,
in the area
and,
of possessions
and
we,
stuff.
We, every time
and money.
We put money in the
let
bank,
Jesus
we take money
empower
out.
You in the area
and,
of your
so
sexuality.
We always had money and we just,
let Jesus
we just
empower
over,
you in the area of your temperance and mood altering substances, how you care for your body.
I didn't realize
let
that
Jesus
he was doing
empower
it to me
you
also.
In terms
and,
of
so,
the world around that would suck
what started
us
out
in
as a little joke became a real big surprise
encapsulating
to myself.
World
at the end.
But you know, all of us are consumerism
are
and
monopoly, so to speak.
Entertainment
ahead and,
hoping
and
all
that we
those
don't go to jail
attitudes
and we
that
get
would
pass
separate
go
us
enough
from
to get those $200
free.
And we get the
you
the,
can be free
the,
from sin, guilt, and
park
shame,
place and all
from
that
legalism,
but
from moral defilement,
how it is,
from intemperance,
is,
from spiritually debilitating
night,
pursuits. From
when
temporal
we,
values
with
and priorities and materialism
and,
destructive
soda.
Attitudes, you
we
can
game.
Be
everything
free because Jesus Christ, through the power
the
of His Holy Spirit, has set
over.
You free.
Everything
amen?
Back
and so walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh.
And, this
and so in closing,
Scripture
we've seen this at the beginning of this series, we are to be
Monopoly
slaves
of
Jesus of Christ
life.
Rather than to be slaves to the habits that hurt us.
All the passion.
And if Christ has
all the
set
ethics
us free,
of how we play the
then
game,
we are
when
free.
When it is all over,
indeed.
Ultimately, everything
let
goes
us
back into the box. You
live
remember Jesus told the story of the rich ruler,
people.
Or the rich man. And he built the barns. He had an extra big harvest, so he built bigger barns. And then you know how that story went. But the ethic of his world at that point was make sure you harvest a big crop, make sure you build bigger barn, make sure you achieve financial security, then you eat, then you drink, and you be merry. And remember not to die.
Now that is what our world pushes today. But God would have us remember that the last one is inevitable. It will happen. And if it does not happen in your lifetime, that means that Jesus is coming in your lifetime. And ultimately, what eternal life is about will be there for you to deal with in terms of your ultimate priorities. And so what is it that really matters? What lasts forever? Well, it's our relationship with God, our relationship with others, my character, my soul, who I am, and deeds of mercy and generosity and love that I might do while I'm here. These are the things that last forever. These are the things of which the Scriptures, when it's talking to us about the power of the Holy Spirit and the freedom of which Jesus brings us, these are the things towards which Jesus is leading us. The things that go back in the box are our possessions and our money and our pleasure and our power and our physical attractiveness and our youth and our youthfulness and our titles and our positions and our security. It all goes into the box. And when they buried J.D. Rockefeller, who was essentially the Bill Gates of his generation, somebody asked his accountant, "Well, how much did he leave?" And the accountant said, "Well, I think he left everything." But the reality is that Jesus says that we do not need to leave everything. We do not need to leave anything. In fact, Ellen White talks about how the Holy Spirit will be speaking to God's people as we near the end as a time to liquidate so that we do not have anything to leave here. But rather we are sending it on ahead. All right? And that's why Paul will say in 1 Timothy 6:18-19, instruct them, the wealthy, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life eternal. The world will tell you that this stuff is what life is about, but Jesus will tell you that freedom from this stuff is what life is all about. And not riches of the world is what life is about, but richness in God is what life is about. And that's why this passage in Matthew 6:19-20, coming back to this, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Do you believe that there's a heaven? Do you believe that there's a treasure box in heaven? Do you believe that you can store treasure in heaven? Well, you do that, there's nothing that can corrupt that. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And Jesus says, look past this world. Look past the stuff of this world. Look to eternity. Look to me. Look to what the people around you need. And allow me to lift them through you. Look to eternity and build that treasure there for eternity. In a nutshell, money cannot provide our... No, money can be used to provide our needs, and it can be used to honor God, and it can be used to serve others. But it cannot make us happy, and it cannot save our souls. It can be a source of a lot of pain and suffering and worry and guilt and shame. It can't buy us love, can't buy us respect, peace, forgiveness, talents, happiness, you name it. The things that money cannot buy. But we can be rich towards God. We can be growing in our character. We can love God more deeply. We can love people around us. We can treat them with dignity and respect. We can improve the world around us. We can be generous people. And we can serve what is ultimately eternal. And so in closing, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Do not be subject to the yoke, the bondage of materialism, the bondage of money. Let Jesus set you free. Let Jesus empower you in the area of possessions and stuff and money. Let Jesus empower you in the area of your sexuality. Let Jesus empower you in the area of your temperance and mood-altering substances, how you care for your body. Let Jesus empower you in terms of the world around that would suck us in its vacuum cleaner, encapsulating world of consumerism and entertainment and all those attitudes that would separate us from others. We can be free. You can be free from sin, guilt, and shame, from legalism, from moral defilement, from intemperance, from spiritually debilitating pursuits, from temporal values and priorities and materialism and destructive attitudes. You can be free because Jesus Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit, has set you free. Amen? And so walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And so in closing, we've seen this at the beginning of this series, we are to be slaves of Jesus Christ rather than to be slaves to the habits that hurt us. And if Christ has set us free, then we are free indeed. Let us live like free people.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.